From the DLC Media News Center, this is Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program produced by the DLC Media News Center. This week's host is Frank Phillips.
Thank you very much, Barry. Natalie Korniak from the Clay County 4-H is our guest today, and we're going to be talking about 4-H. We always look forward to summer and 4-H fair and so forth and so on, and with spring on the horizon, we hope. It's a good time to talk about those things. So when is the fair this year, Natalie?
So our fair this year is scheduled for July 15th through the 22nd. It runs Saturday to Saturday. With our animals coming in on Saturday, we have a lot of food trucks and vendors and a lot of the livestock shows throughout the week. And then we have our live livestock auction on Friday night.
Great. And you are going to have lots of vendors this year and an auction. I know during the pandemic, the auction was a problem.
So they're actually doing kind of a joint effort this year. We're having a livestock auction live on Friday night like it has been for several years in the past. So businesses can come out and bid on the animals for the kids. And then we're actually going to have a celebration dinner on Saturday night so businesses can come and do add-ons. And it's kind of just a way to showcase the kids and come out and eat dinner and have kind of like a silent auction. So
that's wonderful. Now, the celebration, is that also to support the kids who sold their animals? Because I know that's kind of hard for some kids, especially early in 4-H.
Yep, it's to support. It's the money for that night will go towards the livestock kids that participated on Friday night. But it is kind of to celebrate the 4-H kids throughout the whole program. So whether they show livestock or not, we're inviting them. We're going to celebrate, and then businesses can come and add on if they weren't able to make it on Friday night.
Now, what does that mean to add on?
So we have a setup where you can just put $200 towards a specific kid if you have a kid that you want to support. Or you can just say, hey, I want to give $500 to the livestock auction, and it could be split up among the kids.
Okay, that's great. How does 4-H prepare kids for the future?
4-H is huge at building kids for the future. Our whole process is the life skills and life building. We do career readiness through all the projects. I know like our little third graders, if they're building like a little circuit board, they don't necessarily think about that as a potential career, but they could grow up to be an electrician someday. And you build up those skills as you go through your 10 years. But we also have different opportunities for trips and camps. I know during the summer we have for different age groups, they get the chance to go to Purdue and learn from some of the professors there and explore that way a little bit. And it also just responsibility, time management, and different things like that.
Well, how cool is that? Just get to spend time on the Purdue campus and be doing that early enough that they have good memories when it's time to prepare and think about where they're going to go to college.
Mm-hmm. Making friends, learning how to live in the dorm life, and maybe potentially finding a career. Yeah. So,
how has 4-H changed over the years, Natalie?
It has changed a lot. I know we still have the kind of the stigma of agriculture, which it is an agricultural base, but the stigma, not necessarily agriculture, the stigma of you have to live on a farm and it's just livestock. Livestock is kind of a big showcase of the fair, and it is a huge part of our program, especially in a rural county like Clay County. But it's come to a lot focused on some of the STEM activities, the science, technology, engineering, and math. Of course, our home ec projects are still there as well. But it's kind of more, it's kind of molding to kind of be more of an inclusive environment for some of the urban kids, too, and gives them opportunities for different competitions and some more of the STEM focused.
Yeah,
recently.
I think you said you have like 500 kids in the county involved in 4-H.
We do. We have over 500 kids K through 12 in Clay County 4-H. We would love to grow that number though. So enrollment is still open. You can sign up on v2.4honline.com or just call the extension office. We're located at the fairgrounds and we'd love to get your kids involved.
I know one of the great things when I was a kid growing up, I was a city kid, so didn't have a lot to do with animals, but I loved to go and look at the farm implements that the dealers brought in. I loved to go through the exhibits and see all the things that kids were making and so forth. So really, 4-H is for everybody, whether or not they have the ability to raise animals.
Absolutely, and that's why a lot of people think of the livestock, but if you go to the fair, the first big building we have in the front, it's got all of our what we call our building projects or static projects, our crafts and photography and things like that. And that's actually bigger in numbers than our livestock actually is. So that's a lot of our kids do that. But you don't have to live on a farm to have animals. I always tell kids that you can. We have a leasing program where a lot of our horses are leased, especially like rabbits and chickens. Those are easy to keep in town. So a lot of people lease their sheep and pigs too. So that's always an option. You don't have to live on a farm.
Well, a lot of kids have dogs, and they can train their dogs and show the dogs also. I know the dog show is usually a big part of 4-H around the state.
Yeah, we actually have our dog club, thanks to our new leader, Derek Tipton, has kind of, it's tripled in size since I started, which was just 2 years ago. So we have the agility contest, and we're going to kind of do a showcase during the fair this year as well, because our show is normally before the fair, not to distract the dogs with all the people, but we're going to do a showcase during the fair this year. So that'll be a fun thing to come out and watch.
That is so cool. I love the sign. I call it a new sign, but it's been there a few years now, that lighted sign you have at the entrance to the fairgrounds. That really gets your attention and really gets a message across when you drive by, I know.
Yeah, that was donated by Riddell Bank, and that was a huge, huge asset to, I think, advertising and getting people's attention. So, and it really dresses up the place.
That's great. What about adult participation in the fair? I know a lot of ladies. That's not a good thing to say. Ladies and gentlemen like to participate in baking pies and cookies and things. And I know a lot of people also build furniture, and they do other things as well. How can adults get involved in 4-H?
Absolutely. So we have our open class at the fair, and those projects are displayed throughout the week along with our 4-H'ers projects. That registration, you don't have to register ahead of time. I think check-in is on Thursday night, the week before the fair, which is the same time as project judging, which that'll be advertised. And they get judged on Friday, and they're there throughout the week of the fair. And they have pretty much anything that you could find in 4-H. They have the foods projects. You can build furniture. We have a lot of needlework and sewing projects. So that's an option for our adults to participate. But we also, too, I always like to do the plug for our adult 4-H volunteers. We could not function without them. We have 17 4-H clubs, so I cannot be at all the meetings. So we have our 4-H volunteers who lead them. They meet monthly. We have our 4-H council, and they put a lot of time in as well. So there's always an option for adult involvement in 4-H. You can volunteer with the program if you have any special skills. I know that last year I was lucky, I haven't got it set up yet, but somebody came up to me and said, hey, I'm a welder. I would love to do a workshop with the kids. So different things like that. So if you have any special kids or special skills and like working with kids, like we're always looking for adult volunteers to be able to share the knowledge and grow the skills.
What a great idea. I never even thought about that. Maybe I could come out and teach the kids how to do a news
program. That would be awesome. Okay. I was talking about the science workshops at Purdue. There's actually a Spread the News workshop, and that was kind of focused on that. That would be awesome to do at a county level.
Well, that's great. That's great. And what about money? Money's always tight everywhere. What kind of support do you need financially? Is there anything people need to know that you need for 4-H?
Yeah, money is always necessary. We have the kids pay $15 for a program fee for 4-H, but we don't like to charge them for any of the workshops if we don't have to. But there's always supplies needed specifically for different, like I know our many 4-H'ers, we do different projects at each meeting, and even things like that add up. If you do a craft or if you do a little STEM activity, all those things add up. But we also have our awards at the fair. We're always looking for sponsors for those. And so, and we have different activities throughout the fair. You can sponsor a show and different things like that. But if you call the extension office or reach out to the 4-H council, we will absolutely, there's always a need for different activities. A lot of times the 4-H council sponsors kids to go to these trips and camps and things like that, or they also give scholarships to the kids as they progress throughout 4-H. So donations go to things like that. So to kind of celebrate the kids and also help them in their learning.
That's great. Natalie Korniak has been our guest today. She is with Clay County 4-H, and we really appreciate you coming by.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI and at 7 a.m. on WAMB The Breeze, 1130 a.m., 106.9 and 99.5 FM. And on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. on 105.5 The Legend and at 7 a.m. on 92.7 The Rock, WFMB. For a replay of this program or any of our past programs, go to any of our station websites. Thank you for listening to Focus on the Community.